It is good to see everyone today, Sunday morning, July 7th, 2019, Wayne County Bible Center. God's Promises, Our Experiences, Part 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 is where we're going to be today. And it's a basic principle we began studying last week. God's promises are not just to be on the page. God wants us to live them out in our lives. He wants us to experience them. I promise to give you the peace that passes understanding. God wants you to experience the peace that passes understanding. Lehman, God wants me to be able to tell folks what it's all about, how I feel it, how I know it, when God gave it to me during tough times in my life. Amen. You know, and then the Lord says, you know, Tony asked a few moments ago, Ken said, give us a promise. And Tony said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's a wonderful promise. So I ought to be able to tell people how I am conscious of God's presence in my daily life. I feel Jesus with me. I hear Him speak to my heart. I experience His conviction. When I sin, I know it. When I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I know it. I feel His comfort. I've heard His guidance. All of us should be able to share with folks the reality in our lives of what God promises. And that's what this verse says. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says this. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto a good spiritual life, Zoe, a blessed spiritual life. That's not bio, the physical life, but the spiritual life. And all the godliness and righteousness and virtues of God through the epinosis, through the personal relationship knowledge that I have with Him, He hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers, experiencers, partakers and experiencers and receivers of these promises in our life. If He gives you something, He wants you to receive it. If He gives you something, He wants you to hold it in possession. If He gives you something, He wants you to experience. So God's promises are not just to be on the page in the Bible. They're to be lived out in our lives as conscious realities that we experience, that we can show to others, that we can tell others about in our life. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I thank You for this great privilege. I thank You, Lord, that these great and precious promises You made to everybody in this room, and You make to everybody in this room, everybody listening on this website, there to be great experiences, there to be good experiences, there to be good gifts brought into our lives. Father, I ask for forgiveness of Your sin, of my sin. I ask, Father, for Your precious blood to cleanse me. And I pray for an anointing of Your Spirit, Lord, in humility to wash the feet of those that have gathered today, those that are listening today. And Father, You deserve all glory in all things. You are our God. You are our King. Father, we are all men before You. And Father, I want to thank You that Your Holy Spirit is our only perfect teacher. We praise Your holy name. And Spirit, I pray You, we will open our hearts to You and You will teach us today. Not me, Lord. I'm just a man. But Your Holy Spirit will be our teacher today. Speak to my heart. Speak to all our hearts. In Your glorious name we pray, Father. Amen. All right, every promise of God, I want you to think of one. You know, we already named a few, Ken and Tony, and you know, we said a few. But I mean, the Word of God is full of the promises of God. And the thing about us, we need to fully claim them to be our own. We need to not just pray, but as we saw last week, we need to pray believing, pray grabbing, pray not leaving as we wrestle with God till He changes us, till He gives us what we ask for. You say, well, Brother Leo, God going to give us everything we ask for? God's going to give us every good thing we ask for. God's going to give us every needful thing. If I ask for humility, God's going to give me humility. If I ask for compassion, God will give me compassion. If God asks me to help me love my enemies, I'm going to love my enemies. You know, those things are no-brainers. If I ask God to save me, He's going to save me. They're no-brainers. There are certain things we know according to the Word of God or His will. In His desire for us. So we need to grab them and say, I know God wants me to have this. God, I know You want me to have this. I'm going to make it a matter of prayer. I'm going to make it a matter of priority. And I'm going to bring it before You. I want to remind you of two verses I shared with you last week. Go to John chapter 14. And this is about my future life, about your future life, but we're going to study it before we move on. And in John chapter 14, it says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to tell you something, my friend. I don't know a lot. And I'm not the best person in the world. I'm not close to being the best person in this room. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I know that I know that I know that when I die, I am going to experience, emphasis on it, the word experience, I'm going to experience a place called heaven.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven when I die, just as well as I know I went to Charleston 2 weeks ago.
Yes,
ain't going to be no traffic in heaven. Ain't going to be no humidity in heaven. Ain't going to be no mosquitoes in heaven. Ain't going to be no 4-pound cockroaches carting off cats into heaven. But they got them in Charles. But what I want you to understand is this. I am fully convinced, fully persuaded that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And Bobby, it's a wonderful place. And I am fully convinced and I fully expect when I die, in one momentary breath, to leave this place and go to heaven. And you know why I believe that? Because of that promise I just read you. God made me a promise. He made you a promise. You know what that promise is? I go to prepare a place for you in heaven. I'm preparing it for you. And one day, I'm going to come get you and receive you unto myself. So I fully expect to experience the promise of John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3.
Amen.
So when you start reading all these other promises, you need to fully expect to experience them because some of them are for right now.
Yeah,
right now, God wants you to have peace. Wants you to have hope. Wants you to have joy. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I read this last week. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, it says this, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall not be any more pain, disease, or aching, for the former things are going to be passed away. Now, I gave you two phrases last week, all right, that we are to be a partaker of and an experiencer of and a receiver of God's promises.
Yeah.
We're to experience God's promises in our life. And then I gave you another word. Or another phrase, and that word was conscious reality. I should be conscious of certain realities in my life. And let me tell you what some of those realities are right now, Cleo. Sometimes I get a headache. Sometimes I get a bad stomach. Sometimes I'm full of anxiety. Sometimes I worry. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm bitter. Sometimes I have lack of forgiveness. Those are real realities that enter my mind, they enter my emotions, and they enter my physical body. But I am convinced, and I am fully assured that one day, listen to me, I'm never going to cry another tear of sorrow. I am never going to have death and decay and disease going on in my body. I am never going to have sorrow. I am never going to have anxiety. I am never going to have lack of forgiveness. I'm never going to have bitterness. And I'm never going to have pain.
Amen.
That's going to be my conscious reality. You know what I'm going to realize in my life? A lot of joy, a lot of peace, a lot of hope, a lot of love. All these emotions. My body's going to feel better than it ever felt. I'm going to have vitality. I'm going to have energy. That is going to be my conscious reality. When I think about myself and my body in my future life, those are the thoughts I'm going to have. Those are the things I'm going to realize. And you say, why is that, Brother Leo? Because of that promise right there. I believe with all my heart that promise about my future life. So I have taken the promises of God and I have believed them about my future life. Now let's look at the present life. I made a point to you last week, but didn't take you to the scriptures. So go to Genesis 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 9. It says this. And they said unto him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, behold, she is in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. This is God speaking. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed and said, after I'm waxed old, now I'm going to have the pleasure of having a son. And my husband, he's an old man also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then the Lord says this, at the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, I made a point about that. And the point is this. The promises of God, number one, are specific. Would you say that with me? Specific. Say it again. Specific. What was the promise made unto Sarah and Abraham? You're going to have a son. Who made the promise? God. The promises of God are clear. Would you say that with me? Clear. Say it again. Clear. They're not confusing. Lehman, I want you to have peace. That's what God said.
Amen.
Lehman, I don't want you to have worry. Cast your burden on me. That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Lehman, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Yeah.
That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Lehman, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. Yeah. That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
But notice what else he says. Notice what else he says. He says, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and you, Sarah, shall have a son.
Yes.
The promises of God are personal. Would you say that with me? Personal. They're specific, they're clear, they're personal. Every promise of God is just for you. Now I want you to understand that. Every promise of God is just for you. They're clear, they're specific, they're personal, and God wants you to experience it. And you say, well then, Brother Leo, why am I not experiencing all the promises of God? Well, go with me to Romans chapter 4. You ever heard folks say, you know, the devil lies to us? You know that's true? You know who lies to me more than the devil? My own self. People convince themselves of things. You know, Lehman, it's all by grace. So if anybody out there is thinking, whether they're in this room or on this website, that you're not good enough to get any of the promises, you've already told yourself a lie. Now that's a lie. Because guess what? We're not good enough, but it's by God's grace. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. My son's not perfect, but I want to give him good stuff. We're not perfect, but our Heavenly Father loves us more than I love my son. He wants to give me good stuff. And so we need to quit buying the lies of the devil in our own self. In Romans chapter 4, verse 19, it says that Abraham was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Now, what I want you to grab is verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. There's the word again, promise. Say with me again, promise. Promise. Say it again, promise. Promise of God. Say that. Promise of God. Promise of God. What are we studying, Brother Leo? We're studying the promises of God. Not my promises, not your promises. Now I'm going to tell you something. We stagger at the promises of God. Sometimes we convince ourselves we don't deserve God's promises. You know, I've not been good, so I don't deserve God's promises. Well, all you got to do is repent and confess and go to the Lord and get back right with it. We convince ourselves that the promises of God are for somebody else. They're not for me. We convince ourselves that, you know, nobody really experiences all this stuff. You know, Brother Leo gets up there and preaches it, but he's got to do that. You know, he's a preacher. The preacher's got to tell us this stuff because it's in the book. You know, and we convince ourselves that folks really aren't living it. And a lot of times we help people understand that because we're really not living it. Folks need to see the peace of God in their life. You know, I read a lot of guys that have been dead 100 years or 200 years. But several of them, I'll read quotes that people have written about them. And they'll say, you could tell that man met with God face to face. Or they can say, that Charles Spurgeon, he walked with God. And you know, you read these things. Not that these people are saying them about themselves, but other people were seeing it in their lives. So for folks to know that God is faithful and true, we need to be living out what God says is available unto us. Yes. The peace, the love, the mercy, the compassion, the truth of God. So he staggered not at the promise of God. Go to verse 21. But he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. 2 points to that message. What has God promised you? What is one promise that is in the Word of God that is toward you right now in your life? I'm going to ask you to join me. Just bow your head for a moment. Holy Spirit, reveal to me, reveal to each of us, something you have promised that I've not grabbed hold of yet. Lord Jesus, reveal to me something you have promised that I've not grabbed hold of yet. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, look at what it says. Look, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So that's the second part of it. I want to praise God that what he has promised, I don't have to perform. Leo, you don't have to give yourself the peace that passes understanding. Leo, you don't have to do all things through yourself who strengthens you. Leo, you don't ever have to worry about putting more or allowing more to come into your life. I want to thank God He's the one that allows things to come into my life. I want to thank God He's the one that's promised to strengthen me. I want to thank God He's the one that's promised to give me peace. I want to thank God He's the one that's promised to bless my life with full and abundance. I want to thank the Lord for all the good things He has promised us. You know, when I pray every morning a certain prayer for Patty now, as I'm praying for her healing and God's wisdom in what we do. But it's awesome how things come to your mind. But there is a prophetic scripture in the Old Testament, it's again in the New Testament, talking about Jesus, that says God the Father would have the angels hold Jesus up that He wouldn't dash His foot upon a stone. And so, as I heard Patty tumble down that stairwell that morning, and I don't even like to think of the sound or the first sights that I saw, the prayer that's been coming to me is, I want to thank You, Jesus, for holding Patty down that stairwell. You know, I praise God. You know, as the doctors say, we don't see how you didn't bust your head or break your neck or hurt your spine. You know, and other, you know, so you know, the word, we can actually pray the Word of God back to God, because He allows these things to come into our lives and He wants us to recognize them and acknowledge them. You know, you can look back over situations in your life and say, man, there's no way. How in the world did I get through it? Well, you didn't get through it. God carried you through it. And you can say, Lord, you know, You promised to carry me through it. And I look back now and You carried me through it. And I want to thank You for being faithful to Your promises. To being faithful to Your promises. And that gives you faith to look forward to every promises in the Word of God. Now, we're talking about experiencing God's promises, so I want to, as I close today, I want to share with you a promise, if you're saved, you've already experienced. So go with me to Titus chapter 1. Go with me to Titus chapter 1. And I've just simply written above this, your salvation is the result of a promise made by God. And I never have really read this scripture, but I'm going to read it to you. I learned a lot from it. Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul writing to Titus, Paul says, I am a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. And the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised me before the world began. Amen. You know what eternal life is? Eternal life is a promise made to Ken Burris before the world began. Is that not awesome? I am living a promise God made to me before the world began, Lehman.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to tell you something. You know what your salvation is? Bobby, it's an eternal promise. It was made before time even started. It was made before the world was even created. God had a plan for eternal life, and He promised it to us. Eternal life, salvation, is a promise made by God before creation, before time. And I want you to understand, only God can make eternal promises. I can't make an eternal. Any promise I make to you, and it may be 50-50 that I even keep it, because I'm a man. But any promise made by man is temporal. Any promise made by, if Cameron promises me to sell his car and to me, and he keeps his car the remainder of his life, but then goes on to be to heaven, and he didn't sell me that car before he went on to heaven, that promise stopped when Cameron went to heaven. But I want you to understand something. God's promises never stop. God's promises never end. God's promises are for you today. They're for you tomorrow. They're for you throughout eternity. And if you've been saved, you have experienced the promise of God. So we've already seen God's promises are made to be experienced. So you might talk to somebody tomorrow and they say, you know, I've been going to church for 30 years. And you'll say, well, man, that's great. Tell me about your salvation experience. Tell me about your salvation experience. And everyone that's been saved ought to be able to tell you about their salvation experience. Because salvation is a promise made by God, and the promise is made to be experienced. It's specific. You need to be saved. It's clear what you're being saved from and what you're being saved to. And it's personal. Salvation is for each and every one of us. And it's meant to be experienced. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 24. Now, I didn't know a whole lot when I got saved. I don't know a whole lot now. But I sure didn't know a whole lot when I got saved. When I was around 12 years old, the Holy Spirit started dealing with me. And man, he was dealing with me strong. And I fought him off for quite some time and then asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I knew when he came into my heart. And I experienced that peace and that surrender unto the Lord. In Luke chapter 24, verse 45, Jesus says this. Then Jesus opened their understanding, the disciples, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written that Christ would die and he would rise the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise. Would you say that with me again? Promise. Say it again. Promise. I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power that comes from on high. Well, what is the power that came from on high? The Holy Spirit. So me having the Holy Spirit indwelling me, you know what that is? That's the result of a promise from God. Go to Acts chapter 2. The God who cannot lie. I skipped over that kind of. Isn't that beautiful? The God who cannot lie promised us salvation. Acts chapter 2. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the gift. You shall experience the gift. You shall be able to tell folks the Holy Spirit indwells you and what it means and how He works in your life. For the promise, say that word with me, promise. Say it again, promise. My friend, when you start studying promise of God, it's all throughout the Word. I never realized this till 2 weeks ago. My God is a promising God. I've never described Him that way. My God deals with me and you simply through promises. Now look at what He says. For the promise is unto you. What is that? Personal. It's to your children. You can't get any more personal than that. And it's to all those folks that are afar off, even down through the ages, even the Gentiles. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call and convict and save. So I want you to understand something. I am to receive the Holy Spirit, and that's to be my conscious reality. I'm supposed to be in. I ought to be able to tell somebody what it feels like to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I ought to be able to tell somebody how it was before when I was lost. Because that was my reality then. And how it is now that I'm saved. Because I've got a new reality. I'm conscious of someone new entering into my life. And my friend, if my salvation is a promise of God that's to be experienced. That begins my eternal life. If heaven is a promise of God that I know I'm going to experience, well, every promise from Genesis to Revelation that concerns my life today is the same way. They are promises that God wants me to experience. I ought to be able to tell you how God communes with me, how He convicts me. I ought to be able to tell you how I feel when I'm working on a sermon and man, I feel as though the Holy Spirit's pouring stuff out on me. Lehman, you ought to be able to tell folks, man, when I get up there to sing, what I feel. From the Holy Spirit. When y'all do praise worship, y'all ought to be able to say what we feel. When we sing praise worship, we ought to be able to say what we, when we leave church, we ought to be able to say, you know, what we feel. You know, the confirmation of the Holy Spirit, the impressions of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove to your own self. Do you not even know your own self? How that Jesus Christ is in you or whether He's not in you. So what does that mean? That means I ought to be able to tell whether Jesus Christ is in me. The same way I can tell whether or not, you know, something else is in me. It's a conscious reality. And you know why Jesus Christ is in you? Because He promised. He said, I'll come to you. John 14, we studied this last week. I'll be in you. So all the promises of God are yea and yea. That's in my notes. I'm not going there. I don't know this stuff well enough to. I don't want you to think it's just coming out. It's right here. All the promises of God are yea and yea. And all the promises of God are amen. That's what Paul says. Amen and amen. So be it. So I want to ask you something. And I'll repeat it so that so it goes through the system here. Speak out a promise of God that's on your heart that's important to you. Is anybody, you know, and if it's already been said, that's fine. But speak one out. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's a promise. So He don't want you wallowing in the pig pen in despair and discouragement. I heard another. Cast all your burdens upon me because I care for you. That's a promise. God promises He cares for us and He promises He'll carry our burdens. I read Patsy by an author on that quote, that verse yesterday. And he said, you need to use the word when you're praying. When you look at that, you need to absolutely ask God to unburden you. Lord, unburden me. Unburden me. I thought that was awesome. I never saw that before. I'd heard another.
My life and times are in His hands.
Amen. My life and times are in my times are in your hands.
God's the same today, yesterday, and forever.
God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And what's that mean? That means He was perfect yesterday. He was good yesterday. He was loving yesterday. He was merciful yesterday.
Yes.
What's another promise?
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not the peace of the world.
Amen. And you know, Judy, when I think of that promise, and I had this in my notes and didn't say it, everything that God wants to give you, the devil wants to take away. And the one thing He can't take away is your salvation. But God wants to give me His peace, and the devil wants to rob me of it.
Come unto me and I'll give you rest.
Amen. Is that not a wonderful promise? But Bobby, hey, that's conditional. We got to come unto him when we don't have time for him, when we're running from him, when we're ignoring him. But boy, I tell you, Bobby, every time I get along with the Lord and have my quiet time, I feel rested, I feel refreshed, I feel good. But you let me get out of sync and go off on a trip or whatever. Get out of that routine, and you can find yourself getting worn out and worn down. Do we have enough?
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Isn't that wonderful? My man, I use that one 5 times a day, 50 times a day, 100 times a day. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we know that the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. Amen. And that's conditional. If we don't confess our sin, we carry it. And it weighs us down. And it separates us in that closeness with God. You don't lose your salvation, but your relationship is damaged. One more.
He is our refuge and shelter.
God is our refuge and shelter. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore will I not fear, though the mountains be shook, and fall into the sea. For my God is with me. He will not suffer me. He will not allow me to stumble. Praise God for all those promises. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Judy to play for a few moments. And as she's playing, I'm going to ask you to say, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, bring a promise into my heart. Bring a promise into my mind that you really want me to grab hold of today. Lord Jesus, just bring a promise. It might be even more personal than, yet God may want you to hear right now, I love your loved ones more than you do. I'm going to bring good things into their life. You know, whatever it is, open yourself to a promise from God right now. And when you hear it, grab hold of it and ask God to help you live it and experience it.